It's time for The Daily Review, a podcast dedicated to reviews and discussion of TV, movies, and books. Look for us at Daily Review on Facebook and Twitter and dailyreview.com on the web. That's DaleyReview.com.
This is Paul Daly here with my wife, Caroline.
Hey, guys.
And tonight we're here to discuss the second episode of the first season of Netflix's Travelers.
This one was called Protocol 6.
Where last episode was clearly just a meet the cast kind of episode, this one expanded quite a bit on what we could learn about the Travelers universe. And as a sci-fi person, I definitely always am looking for those things that define the rules of the universe.
It was also a very fast-paced episode. In the previous one, I felt like it did a medium speed where we could catch up with each person and know what was going on. But this one was like, I think I asked us to pause it like several times, and we even had to rewind it a couple times because we missed details.
So let's hit the overarching plot of this episode.
It was the first mission for our gang.
First mission. You get the feeling, though, that they definitely worked together before.
Yeah, they don't at all seem like they don't know one another.
Yes. The mission at stake today was that they needed to steal something called antimatter from this convoy and hand it off to another traveler. It didn't quite work out.
It didn't, which what an interesting twist to have like your very first mission for your crew be
a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense from like if you were plotting a novel, you'd want some progress to be made and then some kind of downfall, some sort of drawback to happen so that they could rev up and make another accomplishment and then fail a little bit after that too. So that makes sense on that level. But just right out the gate, you get the sense that even though there's a lot of organization and high technology going on here, there's still just so many variables that they can't know everything.
Some of the things that we found out was that they are not the only travelers. There are other travelers working all around them, and they work as like cells. So they're not supposed to have contact with one another, very a la terrorism. It seemed like they had individual missions per cell. So I guess they aren't supposed to mix and mingle.
It seemed like they could help each other if they kind of ran into each other organically, like the cop did in the beginning of the episode. But when McLaren went to go seek her out later, she was super pissed and got him in trouble with the boss. Isn't that Protocol 6?
I'm guessing that is Protocol 6, is you don't talk to people outside your cell.
There must be some good time travelery anti-paradox reason for that, I'm sure. But right off the bat, it seems like you'd want everybody talking to everybody. If I was running the time travel agency, I'd want everybody talking to everyone.
Part of it, though, has to be for the same reason why you do it with spies and you do it with terrorism and stuff.
Well, you can't get too much information from one person if that person's captured.
And you can't bust the entire system.
Right.
Just finding one or two people. There's not enough connective threads to figure it all out.
Yeah. And you know, us people from the past, we're always looking for jackasses from the future coming in to bust up our show.
You know how many times I'm like, does that dude kind of look like he's from the future to you, Paul?
All the time.
I'm like always pulling on your coattail like, psst, psst, check out this dude.
Constantly.
He's a real Fuchi, I call him.
Fuchis, right. That's a Carolinism.
Look, but for short, just Chi-Chis.
Chi-Chis.
We also learned that there's definitely a boss. I was considering just calling him Charlie because he's very like a la Charlie's Angels. Like you don't ever see him. You just hear the little voice. That was so freaky. In fact, at the very end when they get chastised about breaking Protocol 6, and it was through that Girl Scout.
Yes.
What the show? What does that mean that they can come into bodies even when it's not a dead body?
The reason they would pick dead bodies to travel into was that as history stood from their timeline, that if they chose someone that died, then they weren't going to mess up the future of someone that was supposed to live some amount longer. You know what I mean? So it's like they get to rewrite the book on that person for as long as they're going to be in the body, because it doesn't matter to their timeline.
Right. But how does it work with like the Girl Scout?
Well, she was just temporarily kind of hijacked, brainjacked, if you will.
Yeah.
Which does tell us a little bit more about the technology. It's not an all or nothing kind of thing.
Yeah.
They can just borrow a body if they want to.
which is kind of even crazier. The dead body concept seems like I completely get that, but the bopping into a live body, that's extra kind of crazy.
Well, it does make you wonder a little bit, like, well, why do they need to take over bodies completely if they can do that? Because they would need to know the location of the team members when they wanted to deliver that message. And they need to know that a Girl Scout was going to be there. So why wouldn't they be able to know, for instance, if they've got it kind of pinpointed where the future kind of comes unraveled?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they just beam into that guy
Like to the military men's bodies?
right.
And like get rid of the antimatter then?
Or even closer to the disaster, whatever that is, you know? Like,
yeah.
Why not intervene then? But then you wouldn't have much of a story if they just waited till the last second to be like, no, I'm not flipping the switch all of a sudden.
This is a mystery. And in fact, I think this is something, again, we can use in real life. Like if you're feeling a little off day, be like, I think a Chi-Chi got in me.
A Chi-Chi?
I didn't even say that. It was another Fuch. It just totally temporarily took over my body and made me say some crap.
I will definitely try that.
Next time we're in an argument, I'll be like, that Chi-Chi got me, Paul.
Oh, yeah. You're usually on the defensive in those cases.
Yeah. So what else did we learn, Paul? We learned that there can be misinformation concerning deaths, that all of our information records that the boss is using is not foolproof.
Right. This ties into what made the mission fail. They were supposed to take this antimatter and give it to another traveler. And they even wait outside the traveler's office when he's supposed to be transitioning into the body. And it was a suicide. But they didn't know that the suicide was a very thorough guy. He was planning to shoot himself, but if he chickened out, he had pills that he had already taken before they got there, and there was nothing they could do. So
they're going by death certificates, and I guess the death certificate listed gunshot wound as his cause of death, which I guess if you were the coroner, of course, here you have a blasted out brain, of course you would list that. Maybe they wouldn't even have done like a toxicology report or anything. So what a fascinating turn of events there.
Right. It's like you said, they don't. Even though there is a certain omnipotence to knowing how everything turns out, it turns out that you don't know all the details either.
Well, and it's like they're using human records is part of it. So it's not really omnipotence. It's that they're just using historical records to figure out where people were and when. Probably for the military, they're probably using like transportation logs and things like that to know when the convoy was coming and going. And then, you know, with the death certificates, same deal. But, you know, in the case of things that were like never followed up on, how could you know there was a thing that never got a paper trail?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So this is going to be interesting. I actually very much look forward to other little foils like that. I think that could be super fun.
Well, yeah. Keep them honest. Time travel stories can cheat all the time. And so when they
freaking
have
Fuchies.
Yeah. Fuchies. They're always cheating. So when the narrative can kind of step in and say, actually, I have a very good reason why that's not going to work, that's always more interesting.
Midichlorians.
That's not a good reason for anything.
I know. Sometimes at night, Paul tosses and turns. He's like, midichlorians.
Goddamn midichlorians.
I'm like, you're okay, hon. It's okay. Speaking of bodies that are not doing okay, however, is Miss Marcy. It turns out that she has inhabited this brain who we knew had some damage to it. And I did not consider that once they sort of like amped that brain up, that this could like short circuit it.
Marcy basically admitted that she's burning out this body. She expects it to die relatively soon. She also said a few other interesting things, like she is a doctor, that she's going to need David sometime in the future. And that's why she's kind of trying to build all this goodwill and trust with him. She needs him to trust her as a reliable person and not just a social worker case.
Apparently.
I don't know if maybe just this episode was a little out of proportion, but doesn't this kind of seem like the Marcy and Grant show with Trevor, Philip, and Carly playing the guest stars?
At some points, it definitely did. And then at other points, I felt like, you know, Carly and McLaren, I'm not going to call him Grant, I just can't, really seem like they could have their own offshoot. But yeah, I agree that Marcy, Trevor, and Philip as a threesome really felt like they were really gelling as well. So I do, they do seem to break off into these little packs. I'm not exactly sure who's most informed. Philip seemed very informed.
Philip seems like he might be like a savant kind of guy. I mean, his ability to memorize data was uncanny. I mean, they were asking for alternate traveler sites, meaning who's going to die today. And he had memorized it within like 60 miles or whatever the figure was that he gave on that day. But he learned it days ago, you know, when they, before they came back from the future. And it sounds like he will continue to know that kind of stuff for a while. He's their computer guy. He's their massive data guy.
What did you think about the fact that they balanced that out with this drug withdrawal situation that he has to go through? So he can't be like on firing on all cylinders. He's like shaking stuff, like he messed up the antimatter device because he started shaking because of the withdrawal. What do you feel about that?
Well, if he didn't have that, then he'd basically be a superhero, you know, with that kind of brain power. I mean, it makes me sad because heroin is like, what did they call it in Fear the Walking Dead? The gold standard of drug user. Just, it's like the most horrible because it just rules your entire life. And so he's got to try to get over that. And a common way of doing that is doing it a little bit as you try to come off.
I wonder if that is going to come into play, like if he's going to make a compromised decision in the future because of this issue. We've seen that happen in other shows where, you know, like Mia in The Mist or, you know, like you said, Nick, where, you know, making decisions that hurt the entire group because they've got to go get a fix in some way.
Very, very possible, because they didn't show him shooting up, but they did show him kind of focusing and I think even kind of picking up his little heroin kit, you know.
Ooh.
So they didn't show, I mean, in TV shows, you'd always need to see it on TV to know that that is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because editors and directors and executive producers are getting tricky now with the way that they produce their narrative. Because they want to trick us so that it makes a more compelling visual story. We've gotten to this point now where unless you see it, don't assume that it happened, because that's just dangerous thinking.
We also learned that Trevor is going to be our resident like gadgets guy.
I get the sense that maybe Trevor in his future self is an old guy, you know, experienced hand of some kind, a technician maybe, or maybe an engineer. But when he wakes up with that erection,
oh my God,
and his mom comes in the room and he's still kind of just marveling at this thing that he's built. that's not the sort of something a young guy would do, because it's sort of like, you know, very common for a younger guy to have that condition.
Sure.
But an older guy, not so much.
I see.
So
okay.
I'm wondering if Trevor is actually a very experienced guy.
I really like the idea of who and what they were in the future, because I definitely feel like when we moved into Carly and McLaren and it is revealed that they have an ongoing relationship, what an interesting question to pose to the whole audience of like, you know, hey, now their essences are inside these two bodies, but their outer shells are completely different age-wise, and apparently Carly complains that she's not as fit as she was in her other body.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that make you so curious about like their age and just what they looked like before?
Definitely, for sure. I mean, I would like to see their real selves at some point.
Do you think we will? Will that be like the finale? Is that like where we go? Do we go to their home planet or whatnot?
This looks like, even though it's produced very well, this feels like a low-budget show. You know, we may get some future time, but I bet it's just like a sliver, you know, at the very end.
Okay.
If anything at all.
Intrigue.
You know, you can talk about being from the future, but you can do it right now with the stuff that's already around us in our current day. And it works. It can work, because making those computer graphics and all that kind of stuff, that's not very expensive to produce, you know? So the future, on the other hand, is tough to produce, is more expensive. So
time consuming.
On a production level, I doubt it. I doubt we'll see it or very much of it. Kind of a boring reason to think that we're not going to see it, but that's my reason.
That was my butt up bum joke, Paul. I said it was time consuming.
Oh, because we're talking about time.
Making the future.
Oh my God.
No, it's late. I'm not going to, you know, make a scene out of that. Okay. I also noted that we have McLaren's home life starting to unfold a little bit more for us. So we find out that he has a wife.
It would sure help him in his situation if she was like a horrible bit. But instead, she's not. She seems like she'd be a great wife. So he's got to go and live with this woman who, by the looks of things, these two are tight, you know, like she knows him inside and out. And so when he doesn't call her, he calls her Catherine instead of her name or whatever the situation was.
Right. And instead of Kat.
Right. He's got a lot to learn and no one to teach him.
I like the other little nugs that we found out, like when he like drank the milk and he was like, what is this, cow's milk? Like that was like, oh, wow. Okay. We're like getting these other little bits and pieces along the way. I like how they're scattering that in. I think that's like fun.
And then it introduces more questions like, are there no cows in the future? Or have we just stopped using cows for milk?
Where'd the cows go?
Right.
Travelers, colon, where did the cows go?
Right. It's a very special episode.
That's a different episode, Paul. Carly had a little bit of a strange moment in this one that I felt like I didn't really like how they handled this. They really did not focus on the fact that she was a mom and she had the baby in this episode. And she, in fact, got this strange note from Jeff that was like, I have Jeffrey Jr. We need to talk.
Yeah. This whole plot line was a little messy for me.
It just stopped. Like the baby was back and there was never any resolution. Like, did she go get the baby? Did he come over? What just happened? Did they talk? What is going on?
I thought she went and got him, but
from who?
It doesn't make any sense.
It was weird.
Unless Jeffrey all of a sudden is like shaped up and is like, okay, I'll pull my weight and watch the baby. But that's not what that note said. That note was like,
he let the sitter go. Like he almost like came in, almost like kidnapped the baby.
Almost.
Like it wasn't totally that fiendish, but it was like, this is a little weird. And then they just didn't follow up. It was like, meanwhile, Carly's doing crunches.
So
what?
In, you know, we've been married basically since the beginning of time.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So
that caveman totally married us.
Right. We don't know the protocol, or I don't know the protocols for women that have babies apparently out of wedlock. Like, are there actual paternal rights to that kid, or was that kidnapping?
That's a very good question.
My gut says that was kidnapping.
That's a very good question. I'm sure that the father has legal rights, but in terms of custody and that type of thing, I think that even if you just say at a very, very common sense, just normal courtesy kind of level, if a child is with a babysitter, you don't take them from the babysitter. You know, like that's all a little weird.
We've seen a couple divorces with kids around us, and it seemed like if one parent had the primary custody, the other parent couldn't just drop by and change the plans. It had to be like a thing, you know?
And it would be horrifying if primary parent with custody had a babysitter and the other parent came into the scene and let the babysitter go and took the baby. That would have been like, call the police.
So something about the way this all shook out about the baby basically being kidnapped. Now, we may be wrong, but that's just how it felt to me. And then she just getting it back without any fuss, no muss, no conversation with Jeff. That all felt very fast to me.
It was fast. And I think that comes back down to what we said at the very beginning of this episode, which is just this was a fast and furious episode. There were so many things that happened. We were introduced to two new characters, Delaney and Major Gleason. I think that they're both going to stay on with this current mission. Do you believe that they will continue to come back in?
Yeah. Well, Delaney is the head of that lab that they showed us who was in charge of the antimatter. And they said, we're going to need you again later. So we'll give you my card, but we'll be in touch later. So, yeah, I mean, there's something about what she does that we're going to need in the future.
Well, we knew that we need the antimatter, right? That was part of the mission. So yeah. The fact that they gave it back at this point was really because their container
couldn't handle it beyond a certain period of time, because I guess it had battery power that helped contain it. and well, the batteries and, wore out.
Well, because Philip had that sad siege moment and he totally like did something to knock the time off, which I don't know what you would have to do to suddenly drain the battery just by like wiggling your hands around. I'm not sure what exactly he
did. Maybe he left Bluetooth on or something.
Oh my God.
That kills my phone battery.
That always drains the battery, right?
Right. Then Gleason is the military guy that you're talking about. And Gleason fits all the molds of classic TV military antagonist.
I know. Is he kind of like Cobra?
He's kind of like Cobra. He's kind of like that general that was always chasing around the A-team.
I don't even know him.
Oh, I don't remember. Decker. Decker was his name.
Oh, yeah.
And he would show up every few episodes and be, you know, surround them, and then the A-team would get away. That seems like what Gleason's job is going to be here.
A little boss hog.
Boss hog. Right. Totally. I could see Gleason with a giant Cadillac.
I would love that. The White Stetson, mostly. Overall, what do you give Protocol 6 as your episode rating?
B+. It had all that world building stuff that I love, and it had a little bit of character stuff, which I'm fine with. It's just, it was very fast. They dumped a lot on us world building wise, which, you know, I say I like, but there's a point when it kind of feels like, okay, you're starting to just spill your guts. And we started to approach that line here. And then the Carly line storyline was just like, what are we talking about here? Either she's having this feud with Jeffrey or she's not. And if she is, then you just don't get that baby back just for asking. And if she is not, then why bother leaving that creepy note and dismissing the babysitter? How do you feel about this episode?
I agree with you. The speed was kind of challenging for me because I really wanted to pick up on all the small details. I feel like I asked you to pause it so many times and we even rewound it, which, my God, we never, ever do that. So this was really a surprise for me. Maybe our brains were just a little logy that night, but we did have a little bit of a hard time keeping up with all the small details. I am looking forward to this Delaney and Gleason portion of it because I'm excited to get right into the mission. And I really like it that it exposed that our team is not foolproof. Like, we're not like invincible. We definitely can make mistakes and there's kinks in our armor here, which is exciting because that means that there's plenty of places where the plot can go in a different way than we initially expected it to.
I like the idea that Delaney, even though she worked with them in this episode, she will have her own interests and be kind of a wild card as we move forward. Sometimes our interests are going to align, and in those cases, she may help, but she may not. She's not actually on the team, you know? It'd be kind of funny to find out if she was like the past version of one of the people on the team, but I think they're from like 100 years ahead. Does that sound familiar?
I don't know that I heard.
Delaney, wild card. That's the role that I think she's going to be sometimes helpful and sometimes really not.
I like that.
Look for our other podcasts on The Orville and This Is Us. And then keep looking for Travelers Podcast. We'll keep sprinkling those in throughout the fall as we get more episodes under our belts.
I'm very much looking forward to Travelers 2 coming out in October. So we're going to get through this as quick as we can. And we hope you guys will pick up with us on Travelers 2.
Thanks a lot.
Catch us on iTunes or your preferred podcast software. Our website, dailyreview.com, that's D-A-L-E-Y review.com, Facebook or Twitter, or wherever you find us, please leave us a comment and a rating to let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for listening, pod people. Thanks for listening to my mom and dad.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Just go home, folks.